Hello, everybody, and welcome again to the Stroz Bros Podcast. I'm your host, Richard Perez, and joining me, as always, is my best friend, Lee White. On deck today, coming up for you today, we've got the Astros and Angels recap of the series. We've got the entire roster changing, all the moves. Bud Norris' outstanding outing against the Angels. We've got minor league updates. We've also got the we're going to talk about the All-Star game ballots and the upcoming interleague matchup with the Buccaneers. All that and more right after this.
There it is! The Astros have won the Central Division title.
It's gone! It's gone! It's gone!
Line drive right center field, that's number 3,000!
What a way to say goodbye!
And now, you're listening to the Stroz.
And welcome back. All right, Lee, so here we go. We've got the Angels and the Astros series. I mean, what a series that was. 2 out of 3 in a very entertaining series. I would have liked to get gotten the sweep, the first sweep in about a year for the Astros. But I'd say the Astros played outstanding, and really it just kind of broke down at the end, and we just didn't get the bounces to go our way at the end.
Well, I agree. You know, I mean, we got the first game, Jordan Lyles. He's definitely looks like a much better pitcher this year than he did last year and the year before that. He looks more mature. He's working out of jams this season, which is different for him. He's not letting stuff get to his head. And then we got that outstanding outing from Bud Norris. We also got picked up by Jose Veras in 2 games, which is pretty nice because, you know, he started off the year rough. He was looking very hittable. Now he looks like he may be kind of, you know, getting in tight with his closer's role and being the leader of a bullpen and a pretty young team as well. And then today, you know, it was a tough loss, but it was a pretty wild game, long 4-hour, 9-inning game. But it was pretty entertaining series overall. The games were extremely competitive, as you'd expect for 2 really bad teams. But the Astros, they actually looked like a better team, both pitching and hitting, until the little slip up in the bullpen today.
Yeah, and you know, like you said, these are both pretty bad teams, and it's kind of like a toilet bowl for, you know, more or less. And I don't know whether to gauge it as it being the Astros are bad or the Angels are that bad as well, because really, had the Astros completed the sweep, these teams would be on equal ground, and about $110 million difference in payroll.
Yeah, see, I think what it is that the Angels they're just not performing. I don't know. They shouldn't be this bad. I mean, that's obvious. They got some extremely talented hitters. Now, their pitching is awful, and it's going to be awful, but their lineup should be able to get wins by itself, but that's obviously not the case. I don't really know. It's kind of baffling that they've started off this bad. I'm sure Angels fans are looking back at that season that the Astros had in 05 where they started off poorly, absolutely poorly, and go to the World Series. But I'm not sure if that can happen again or not. That was a pretty miraculous run that the Astros had to put up.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that. And if you look, I mean, just take a look back at the Angels season last year. They dug themselves in a hole, and they made a push at the end, but they just couldn't complete it. And you mentioned the Astros 05 series. They were hot for like 3 months, really the best team in baseball. And what it is they just got hot at the right time. And, you know, maybe it's time that the Angels should blow it up, as it were, if they don't make that run. But I really don't see how they could. But who knows? We certainly don't know what goes on in that clubhouse, and they could turn it around, you know, tomorrow. Maybe this clutching defeat from the jaws of victory, clutching victory from the jaws of defeat, gets them in a gear and they just turn it around.
Yeah, see, I mean, I'm not 100% sure, but if they don't make the playoffs and it's looking that way, because, I mean, yeah, you can't win a pennant in April and May, but you can certainly lose one like they did last season. And, you know, they're going to be chasing a very good Texas Rangers team and a very good Athletics team for the rest of the season. And I don't know if they're going to be able to get their way out of it just like they were last year. I mean, they were playing really good ball at the end of the season. They just didn't start the year off good enough, and this being the worst start in franchise history for the Angels, I just don't think they can do it. But like you said, you never know. I mean, it's baseball. You play the game for a reason. So, I mean, if we didn't play this season, people would be like, well, the Angels are in the playoffs. That's for sure. That's a given, you know?
Yeah.
But it's just it's pretty crazy how things have unfolded for that team. And it's going to be tough for them because that team is probably going to get a very good baseball guy fired by the end of the year in Mike Socha. It's just not looking good for them. And it's not Socha's fault. I mean,
no, it's not Socha's fault. I think it might be a clubhouse problem where those really aren't his guys. And I look back, living in California around the time in 2002 when they won that World Series, those were Socha's guys, and really that was kind of his team. He was really in command, and you know those were a great Angels team to watch. I loved watching them back then. But you know, I don't think if Mike Socha does get fired, I don't think he's going to be unemployed for long.
I honestly think
Don Mattingly. Here's if you got you guys. I know I say this a lot, but go listen to Sully Baseball, the Sully Baseball Daily podcast. He's a great friend of ours. He's been talking in the recent days about how Don Mattingly will get fired, and you know, around the same time as Socha, and then Socha will be hired as the Dodgers manager. Mm-hmm. And I could totally see that happening.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, switching gears over to the Astros side of things, Bud Norris had an outstanding outing, really 8 innings. I was hoping he would have been able to get the complete game, but he just got those couple of hits right at the last or to start the 9th inning, and, you know, they just pulled the plug on him.
Oh, yeah, dude, that was the best I've ever seen Bud Norris look. And a couple years ago, he took that no-hitter into the 7th versus the Cardinals. But he still did not look this good. I mean, he was hittable in the first inning that game. It looked like it could be a long night for Bud Norris, but he still got it out of that. He got out of that inning because of a lineout and then a double play that followed right after that. But the first inning looked kind of tough, but he still got out of it with like 11 pitches thrown, I think. And then after that, he just completely shut the Angels down. He didn't strike out many batters, obviously, because he threw 84 pitches. After 8 plus 2 batters in the 9th, I mean, it was dominant stuff. And I completely agree with Bo Porter pulling Bud Norris. So, I mean, you know, you got to get as many wins as you can when you're the Astros. And had he let Bud go, who knows? He could have gotten a double play ball and the Astros could have won 3-2 because the run on third scored. But you bring in your closer, you let your closer do things that he's supposed to do. He got 3 outs without allowing the guy on third to score. Astros won 3-1, but outstanding game from Bud Norris. Really raised some eyebrows from a lot of people.
Another thing that I think sealed Bud Norris's fate was the blown call of Paredes at home. I think he had another run as a cushion there, I think Bo Porter might have left him in there. But we just never know. I think that was a... You know, this is a bad week for umpires.
Oh, yeah.
And I think had he had another... run another insurance, you know, another run lead, I think he might have been able to stay in and get the complete game.
Yeah, see, I had completely forgotten about that blown call, but I mean, it was an obvious blown call. Watching it in live speed, you could tell that the runner or the catcher didn't tag him, but I also didn't like live speed, I didn't really see the hand touch because it was just, I mean, watching the game, you know, it looked like it did, but you couldn't actually see it. Well, when they slowed the replay down, it's obvious that if the umpire says he didn't see the catcher tag Paredes, then he had to have seen Paredes touch home plate. I mean, it was just if he didn't see that, then he needs to do something with his eyes because that should have been obvious from the umpire's standpoint. Once they slowed it down and got the right camera angle, because, I mean, it was basically where the umpire was looking or should have been looking to see the play made. But it was just a blown call that didn't end up hurting the Astros, which is a really good thing.
Yeah, it hurt Bud Norris, but it didn't hurt the Astros' chances of winning. I want to take a moment and say thank you to Rick Ankiel for just being a part of this team. And We want to thank you for being a part of this this team and the Astros organization. Although it be short-lived, I enjoyed watching Rick Ankiel play for the Astros.
You know, Rick Ankiel is a great guy, and his story is fantastic. It sucks that it didn't work out for him this year. You know, it really does. I wasn't expecting him, to be honest. I wasn't expecting him to make the team out of spring training. But he performed really well in the spring. I guess he knew that he had to, or he may not make the team. But once he made the team, I don't know. It just didn't work out for him, and I feel pretty bad for the guy because he's done a ton to get back into the major leagues. You know, once being one of the top pitching prospects in all of baseball to becoming an outfielder who played on winning teams. I mean, he wasn't like an outfielder that went from scrub team to scrub team. He was on the Cardinals. He was on the Nationals last season. And, you know, he came to the Astros to be a mentor and to actually do good things, but he just couldn't come through at the plate, and they had to part their ways.
Yeah, and really, I to be honest, I wasn't expecting him to be a part of this team, you know, coming out in spring. Mm-hmm. But I was really glad that he did make it, and, you know, he didn't fare so much well with the team. But I think it's just a testament to his willpower and his work ethic that he did make a team going into spring training, and that he was able to make a major league opening day roster, which not a lot of people could say they've done.
Yeah, especially an older guy who's, I mean, he's not young, he's not extremely old, but I think he's mid-30s, and, you know, just having to change position from pitcher to outfielder is a little different for a lot of people, so for him to actually be able to continue to make teams, I mean, like I said, he was on the Cardinals before, he was on the Nationals last year, I mean, he's been on good teams, so, I mean, he's obviously done something right, but just didn't work out for him this year.
Yeah, maybe he'll get something else. Maybe he's done. We don't know. But Rick Ankiel, you know, he has a great story, and you got to admire that guy for doing what he did this year.
Oh yeah, no doubt. You know, he's a good guy from what I've heard. He's a really good guy.
Seems like a really good guy, and taking his spot, Trevor Crowe, and as you mentioned earlier, Jimmy Paredes. And Jimmy Paredes looks like he's an entirely different player.
Yeah, I mean, to an extent. Obviously, it's still a really small sample size, but he does look better. He's definitely shrunk down his strike zone from what I've seen in the three games that he played. He's got a few doubles, you know, but he definitely looks to be seeing the ball better, I guess I should say. That's one thing that he said he needs to work on, and he's... You know, I don't know what to say about him. I hope it really pans out for him this season, because I was a big Paredes fan last year, still am, you know. But just hope he can keep doing what he's doing, because, I mean, he's still striking out pretty much. I mean, in 12 ABs, he struck out 7 times so far this year. But like I said, it's a really small sample size, and we're just going to have to wait and see on him.
Yeah, I think, as you said, he needs needs a little bit more time, but he made a really strong debut 2013, and I'm just blown away by by what he's been able to do. Didn't play at all last year at the major league level, and in 2011, I think he was called up in the towards the very end.
He played last year.
He did?
Yeah, it was late at the year. He didn't play very much, and when he did play, it wasn't very good. So he had a very forgettable 2012.
So I'm really pulling for the guy. Loved watching him here in Corpus, and he's just an outstanding guy. His bat and his speed is one of the main reasons why he's up here. I think he was leading the Pacific Coast League in batting average of like 340-something.
Oh, dude, it was higher than that. I'm pretty sure it was like 370. It was crazy.
Huh, let's see. Let me see if I can find it. Looks like that's 366. Wow. Yeah, dude, I mean,
he was stroking the ball in AAA, and I mean, obviously, he does look like a completely different guy. So, I mean, and let's hope he's not like a Brett Wallace, where he can just rake in AAA and then gets up to the majors and can't hit, which is what I call the 4A special.
Yeah.
Too good for AAA, not good enough for MLB.
Yep.
You know, it happens to a lot of people.
You know, I'm curious as to what's going to happen with Brett Wallace.
You know, I really do bet they gave him, like, one more chance. And it's probably soon. I bet they let John Singleton have a few games, probably more than a few games at AAA. But I bet they let Singleton spend some time at AAA and let Wallace come up and see if he's gotten any better. And if he hasn't, then they're like, time to move on, you know? We've had you in our system for a while. You haven't done anything for us.
Yeah, I think
on the next one.
Yeah, I think I mentioned this before, but Wallace is indeed on borrowed time with the Astros organization. As we've said before, there's a reason why he got traded from at least four or five different organizations.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say there's a reason why. If you look at the trades that he was a part of, they either got big name prospects in return because Wallace at that time was a big name prospect. Or they got, say, Matt Holliday, which was who the Cardinals sent to the Athletics for Matt Holliday. They sent Brett Wallace for Matt Holliday. So, I mean, there was something there at some point in time. It's not like this is – I mean, it's not like this has been happening to throughout him. And, you know, they're just all – it's just it just happens to prospects sometimes. They just can't compete in the major league level.
I don't think Wallace can cut it at the big league level.
Oh no, I don't think he can either. After watching him this season and last season, and I was hoping he was going to be able to turn around this year because he definitely looked like he could. You know, he'd lost even more weight. He had changed his batting stance. Everybody was like, "Oh, you know, he's looking good." He looked good in spring training as well. We saw that and got up to the major league level and just
just totally fizzled out. He didn't pan out. I hope the fact that Singleton. I mean, we're only 18 games away. I think maybe 17
something
now.
Something like that. It's close. It was 3 weeks a few days ago. So, I mean.
We're close. We are really close to John Singleton coming back. And I'm excited to see where he ends up. I think you might be right in him going to AAA.
I'm almost 100% because Jeff Luno said it that he was going to be going to AAA. But for now, I mean, obviously, he's. They haven't had a roster change since last year, so he's still on the hooks. He's just on a suspended roster.
Yeah.
And Jeff Luno said he was going to be headed out to AAA when he got off the suspension list. Cannot exactly remember where I read that from or I'll pull it up, but I know what's going off Oklahoma City's games.
All right, here, we'll take a little bit of a break here, and we will be right back. I'm waking up.
Welcome back, everybody. How's it going? We're getting right into things here in the Stros Bros. We're in the second half, and I'll probably let Richard kick it off with the minor league updates. You know, he gets to keep up with the Corpus Christi hooks better than just about anybody. So what do you think about them, Rick? How are they holding up?
They are holding up just finely. They are five games above 500. They just lost tonight. A close one, actually, to Frisco, the affiliate of the Dallas Rangers. Right now, the Hooks are, I believe, in first place, 19-14, and I mean they're doing good. Fulton Evich did absolutely outstanding in his Double-A debut. I believe that was against San Antonio in San Antonio, and I believe he struck out 9. He had one hit, and he went 5 innings over through his 75 pitch limit through the 5th inning. And you were asking me this off the air, and Fulton Evich is going to be a part of the starting pitchers duo that they have here in Corpus, which is an outstanding system. I hope they keep it here for a lot longer because it's just working out for these guys. And Fulton Evich threw 53 pitches of 76 for strikes.
Wait, hold on. I think you got that backwards. I think it's 76 pitches, 53 for strikes.
What did I say? Oh, yeah, I did get that backwards. Sorry about that. But yeah, he had 53 strikes out of 76 pitches, which is outstanding. And David Martinez, for the other starter, had he had 2 hits, 1 walk through 3 1/3 innings, which isn't bad. And then Alex Sogard got the 3rd save of the year, getting the last few. With the bases loaded, which Alex Sogard is one of the better guys here in Corpus Christi. I can't think. Jason Stoffel. I think we've got pretty good bullpen guys coming up through the minor league system through Alex Sogard and Jason Stoffel. And even Josh Zide, who's in AAA right now. These guys are outstanding. We've got a great pitching staff in the minor leagues. And even at AA alone, we've got outstanding pitchers. And today they just fell a little bit short. Carlos Quevedo got the loss as he started the sixth inning, and that's when Frisco took ahead. So I think Carlos Quevedo, he's been here for about two or three weeks, so I'm not surprised that he got banged up a little bit. He got called up from Lancaster.
Lancaster.
Yeah, he went 1 1/3 tonight. And he gave up 5 earned runs, so he got slapped around quite a bit, and that ended up being the Hooks couldn't come back from that. They ended up losing 6-4 tonight, and they scored 1 in the 6th and 3 in the 7th and just couldn't come back. But that doesn't mean that these guys can't hit. One thing about these guys, they are a little inconsistent, for lack of a better term. It seems like one day they're just knocking everything out of the park, and then maybe one day it'll happen where they all just are in a slump and they can't hit anything.
And that'll happen a few times in baseball, you know. But you mentioned how the pitching staff is awesome down there, and they had Azur Wojciechowski down there, but he got called up to AAA. And with Fulton Nevich coming up to AA, and another guy that came up, I think it was yesterday, is Kenny Long, who I'm looking forward to seeing. I think he was in extended spring training for the most part, but I can't wait to see what he can do, because I want to know if he's going to be in the bullpen or if he's going to be part of the tandem pitching, because I think he'll end up being in the tandem pitching because he's a starter, he's been a starter. We'll have to see how that plays out with their starting pitching, because they've been pretty good. But a couple guys that I can't wait to see from AAA come up to Houston are, of course, Jared Cozart and Azur Wojciechowski. Cozart just went 5 2/3, I think. Struck out 9 or 10. I cannot remember. It was a pretty high number. But he's looking really good and proving to people, you know, that he can pitch. Obviously he can. He's our top pitching prospect at the moment. But I cannot wait to see what he can do when he gets up to the majors. He is giving everybody a reason to want to see him pitch in the majors.
Yeah, Azur Wojciechowski is one of the better prospects we've got here. I loved watching him as well as Jared Cozart. And really, I just can't wait for these guys to get called up. I think we're going to start seeing a pattern here. Mm-hmm. Maybe about once or two times a month, maybe every 2 weeks or so, we'll see new guys get a call up, and guys struggling get sent down. Or it may even happen sooner, depending on how people, depending on the health of this team. And I really think that Bedard and maybe even Umber might even be on the chopping block, because I don't know if they finished a year with this team. They aren't going to bounce back, and they've had too rough of a start of the season to be any sort of trade bait. And so I think they may even get optioned, but I seriously doubt that.
I don't think Bedard can get optioned. I don't think he can. But I think Umber may be able to, but that, again, like you said, they probably won't, number one. They don't have a future with this team. Bedard, I bet we likely see both of them until June, which is when Super 2 status passes over, and that's when we'll start to see probably Jared Cozart get his first chance in the majors, and so I'm looking for that. I think Azur Wojciechowski still has some time left to develop in AAA, even though he does look like a beast. You know, but they don't want to rush him too quickly, get in his head a little bit. But they're going to probably keep him there for a while. But Jared Cozart will probably be the first big pitching prospect that we get to see, and that'll probably happen sometime around June, July, maybe.
Yeah, as I was to add on to what you were saying, I think that Umber and Bedard. They may be I think to keep them in AAA would be a waste of a 40-man roster spot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it'd be better for them just to be parted, for them to part ways. And, you know, to add on to that, I think the perfect game pitcher, no-hitter game pitcher, is that theory that they're good pitchers can be a farce. Just because they throw a perfect game doesn't necessarily mean they're a great pitcher.
Oh, absolutely. That just means that they had great stuff one day. And they had breaks go their way because, I mean, to be perfect one game, you can't have a wild pitch on a strike three, which they almost did. You know, you can't have an error in the field. You can't accidentally walk somebody in a 3-2 count. You know, you can't give up really any hard hit balls or any really extremely soft looping fly balls that could drop in the outfield. You just can't give those up. It's a matter of having good stuff one day and luck on your side as well. And obviously that happened with Umber and Galarraga, who didn't get the perfect game because of an extremely bad call at first base. But in other words, he should have. But, you know, it's just you got to have luck on your side. Galarraga obviously didn't, but should have had a perfect game. Just didn't have luck on the side that day. So,
yeah, I think that also and to finalize that, I think that it's majority luck for that guy.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it just goes to show that a lot of it does have to do with luck. Like Yu Darvish, he's an outstanding pitcher, almost had a perfect game, got a ball up the middle, couldn't kick it down, anything like that, get his glove on it. But he just wasn't lucky on that play, you know. He completely shut the Astros down, obviously. And then, say, Justin Verlander flirted with a no-no, got it broken up in the seventh. And then King Felix, you know, I think he gave up a run, maybe, but he's also thrown a perfect game. He's an outstanding pitcher. He couldn't get it done against the Astros, but he didn't have the chances that you and Verlander had. But it goes to show you that, you know, perfect games do rely on luck, and obviously Umber's not an outstanding pitcher. We've seen that firsthand. You know, I don't think he'll be here in the Astros system much longer.
Here's a perfect example. R.A. Dickey's last year, his outstanding season, and then just completely falling on his face in Toronto. So I really think it's, you know, it's a combination of luck and somewhat skill and the guys you have around you. I think the Astros are, I think they're done with that, and I hope they're done with that. But as far as Umber and Peacock as well, I'm not too sure about Peacock.
I'll tell you what I think about Peacock. He's shown flashes of it. He could be a really good pitcher. Call me crazy, I know, but he looks like he may have some of that immaturity that Jordan Lyles showed last season, and I'm hoping he doesn't show it this year. He hasn't yet, but you know he gets into jams and he can't simply get out of them, and I think that has something to do with maturity mainly. And I've said it all along with Jordan Lyles. I've said they need to do something with his head, you know, send him down AAA, get a sports psychologist or something, which they didn't get a sports psychologist, but he worked out of it as he got older. Peacock may have the same issue. Now, I don't know. I think Peacock, he's definitely here for a while. I don't know if he'll be in the bullpen or if they want him to be a starter or what. He went down to AAA. He did not have a very good first outing down to AAA. But from what their beat writer said, he was unlucky a few times and then gave up one big hit. And, you know, that just happens. So we'll have to see how he develops in AAA. But he looked really good in spring training. He looked like he could handle himself. Couldn't at the major league level so far, but I think he'll be able to. It's just he was in Oakland when we got him, and Oakland had tried to mess with his pitching style. Came back to Houston. We weren't going to mess with it. We told him, you know, get it back. Well, he got it back, but it's still – I guess he still has to work a few kinks out, and that's what he's going to do in AAA.
Yeah, and going back to the call-ups, as you also mentioned this off-air, but Kenny Long – I also think he'll be a part of the tandem pitching staff here in Corpus Christi. He just called up yesterday, May the 9th, as a matter of fact, and I'm not too sure when he's going to make his first start, But I mean, he was outstanding in the California League for Advanced A in Lancaster, and he was also great in Tri-City with the Valley Cats in Rookie Ball. So I'm really looking forward to see what this guy can do. He really has blazed through the minor league system as of yet, and to think this guy was a 22nd round draft pick, 669th overall.
You know, it just shows to it just goes to show you that prospects can come out of nowhere. Like Austin Waits, you know, you look at Austin Waits, you don't say he's a prospect because, you know, he's not a big name prospect, but he's succeeded at every level, and right now he finds himself at AAA. It just goes to show you they can truly come out of nowhere. They don't have to be big namers right off the bat.
They can be
Domingo Santana, player to be named later, was not a big prospect with the Phillies. He looks like a robot with the Astros.
Let me tell you, Austin Waits is a rock star here in Corpus. Mm-hmm. People love this guy. I think that also is another allure to minor league baseball, that these guys can be homegrown. And mm-hmm. I'm really happy, you know, Austin Waits got getting his call up, because he had a great year last year, and he's had a great year thus far this year. And Max Stassi, who we got, I believe, in the Oakland A trade, he's doing great here in Corpus Christi as well. He's only been here for about a week or so in a couple of games, but he's made a little bit of headways here, and I'm excited to see what he can do the rest of the year.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about him. How's he looking with the bat? Do you know? Like, have you seen him, like, actually play?
I haven't seen him play yet. He's only played 4 games. He's got 1 home run. He's well below the Mendoza line at 133 average. But again, he's only played 4 games and had 15 at bats. Mm-hmm. So it's way too smart of a too small of a sample size. But it's too way too soon to tell. And maybe later in July or August, I could give you a full report on this guy. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking forward to see what he can do. I believe he came out of extended spring training, so this is really his first time. And I guess you could say getting live ball outside of extended spring training, which really isn't much. So you could see he's probably just trying to keep his head above water here at AA. But Stassi is doing well. Eric Koster is doing well. Nick Tropiano, I mean, this guy can throw the ball. Corpus has some of the best arms in the minor league between David Martinez, Tropiano, Sogard, and Dorn and Jake Buchanan. So
Fulton Evich now.
I'm hoping he can have a good year here with Corpus Christi. Jonathan Meyer is another guy who's really come out of the woodwork, and this guy can hit for power. I mean, he could just smack it. He doesn't have a lot of home runs, and his batting average isn't all that great, but he can smack the ball. When he gets a hold of it, he gets a hold of it.
Nice to hear.
I think, and really for Corpus, I think that's all there is. Of course, Springer and Drew Mearon and Michael Burgess out in the outfield. And it was nice having J.D. Martinez come back for a few games last week. I went out and got to see him, told him hi, and hung out there for a few games. So it's pretty cool getting to see Martinez back here in Corpus again. When he went up to bat, it was almost a standing ovation every time he went to bat.
Well, he was a big player down there for Corpus.
Yeah, kind of like Altuve. And, you know, the fans really here just really love the guy.
As they should. I mean, he did good things for him.
I'm looking forward to the Astros' first series back in the National League coming up against the Pirates. That is one thing I'm looking forward to now, you know, as we start to wind down this podcast. I'm really excited for that, you know, to play the Pirates. You know, I'm really happy they put us against NL Central teams for the league.
I mean, I've came out and I've said it before. I'm not completely opposed to the American League like a lot of people are. You know, just go with the flow. It happened. Just let it happen. You know what I mean? I mean, it was going to happen. It happened. We're in the American League now, you know, forget the NL. But I'm really glad that they did put us for the interleague games with the NL Central. I think that's pretty cool. We get to go back and play the Pirates. You know, our pitchers have been taking BP lately, trying to get back into the zone of hitting, which, if I'm taking wild guesses here, they'll be bunting or just looking at every pitch that comes by. But, you know, it'll be kind of fun to get to see them play the old Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be in Pittsburgh, and then of course they also go to Chicago. I'm interested to see what Miller Lite has to say about the Astros going back to Chicago with that stupid sign, blast Houston into the AL. Okay, let's speed this up a little bit of quick hits. The Major League MLB All-Star Game's coming, or the ballot has been released, and who'd you vote for? I'm interested.
Well, first off, I had to submit a bunch of Homer ballots.
As did I.
I mean, everybody does it, but I did submit some real ballots. Let me just go ahead and grab my ballot real quick and take a look at it.
All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and announce my AL picks. I went for first base, I went for Brandon Moss of Oakland, and second base, I went for Altuve. Shortstop, I went Jed Lowry, and third base, I went Matt Dominguez third base, because Homer pick. And then for third base, or for catcher, it was really tough. I was stuck between Castro and Avila, and then I just went Castro for Homer pick, just for the heck of it. And then for DH, of course, Carlos Pena. David Ortiz was another one that I liked, but I ended up, just going with Carlos Pena. And then for three outfielders, of course, I went for Chris Carter. I went with Mike Trout, and then it took me a while, but I was stuck in between Coca Crisp and Yoenis Cespedes. I just went with Crisp.
Yeah, I can understand that. As we're talking right now, I'm just looking at this ballot. And off the top of my head, I can sort of remember how I did it.
Go for it. Let's hear it.
I went first base, Prince Fielder for the AL. NL, I took Joey Votto.
No,
Second base, Jose Altuve.
okay, go ahead and do the NL then.
Second base, I went Brendan Phillips. Shortstop, I went Jed Lowry. NL, I went Starlin Castro. Third base, I went Evan Longoria. I love Matt Dominguez, but I'm trying, I tried not to be a homer as much. I did submit a lot of homer ballots, don't get me wrong. And then I went for the NL side, I went Ev or David Wright. And then at catcher, I took Joe Mauer just because he's Joe Mauer. And then for the AL side, took Buster Posey, I think.
No, you went with Yachty. You went with
Oh,
Yachty.
yeah, that's right. That's right. I went with Yadier. I remember telling you about that. Designated hitter. It's going to sound a little crazy, but I went Travis Hafner from New York Yankees, hitting 284 with 6 home runs and 18 ribbies.
That's not bad.
And
I can't be upset with that.
yeah, I know, right? Pretty crazy.
It's not bad. And then let me go ahead and give my NL picks. I went Joey Votto at first base. I went with Marco Scudero just because I fell in love with the guy in the postseason. Troy Tulowitzki, shortstop. Todd Frazier. Todd Frazier, you may not have heard of the guy, but his recent story about Teddy, the Bat Boy in Cincinnati. I completely fell in love with that story. So I went with Todd Frazier. And for my catcher, I went with Buster Posey. And for outfield, I went with Noichi Aoki, Hunter Pence, and Andrew McCutchen.
Nice.
Pretty good ballot. So remember, guys, if you want to vote, you can just go to astros.com. There you can vote. Or even at a minor league ballparks, and I'm going to submit a bunch of ballots. They have a voting station at Whataburger Field, so I'm going to go and vote there a bunch as well. So go vote for your Astros. Go vote for whoever you think deserves to be at the Midsummer Classic. And thank you guys for listening. At Stros Bros, at the Stros Bros on Twitter, at Yoko Rick, at Lee underscore Wide 73. As always, check out the site, subscribe on iTunes. Lee, is there anything else you want to plug?
That should be about it. Follow us on Twitter. We'll hit you up if you hit us up.
Yeah, we're always up for a conversation. We love feedback, positive or negative. Whatever it is, we just like talking baseball. So I
For
think.
sure. For sure.
Oh, and
For sure.
here's a little teaser. We will have.
We'll have Jared Webb from Farm Stros on the podcast Monday, which will probably be out Tuesday. And we'll be talking about the draft and probably some prospects that you may have never even heard about. Because
All
he's just that good.
that coming up on the next edition of the Stros Bros. So you guys keep it locked in here. We will always be pumping out content on the website and here on the podcast. So thank you guys for listening. See you later.
Peace.